Contest System of Laboratory Protection presents Rudy Valley with John Barrymore and our special guest, Abbott and Costello.
I'll give you a smile for a while, a song for a song for a while. I'll give you a heart for a moment sublime, right from the start. We'll have a grand time.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rudy Valley welcoming you to another SEAL test program. Though 4th of July celebrations do not officially begin for several hours yet, we have many vocal fireworks to explode tonight. There's our regular bombastic bombshell, John Barrymore, and our guests, the stars of Buck Privates and in the Navy, Abbott and Costello. But first, let us offer SEAL test's salute to America. Gentlemen, attention!
America, conceive in liberty. Cheers to America, the stronghold of the free. Democracy and justice, we must defend them both. America, America, you have our sacred oath.
For our next salute, we fire at you those two big guns of comedy, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Hey, Abbott, I don't believe it.
Now, wait a minute. All right, now don't go around shouting. Yes, it is. The one with the kinky hair.
No, it ain't.
Now listen to me, please.
No, it ain't.
That one over there with the kinky hair is Rudy Valley.
Oh, then the one with the kinky face must be Barrymore. Hey, Abbott.
What?
Anyway, where's Rudy Valley? My wife loves that guy, Rudy Valley.
All right, Costello, I'm Valley.
Oh, so I'm concerned, too. My wife thinks you're great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Don't thank me, thank my wife. She thinks you're marvelous. My wife listens to you every week on the radio. Every single week. She loves it, especially when you come out and say, hi-ho, everybody. Hi-ho.
But I haven't said hi-ho, everybody, on the radio for years. That's an old line.
That's okay. We got old radio.
Costello, please, aren't you ashamed of yourself? Rudy Valley invites you to be his guest, and you say a thing like that? Why do you act this way?
I don't know.
Oh, I wonder.
I'm a bad boy.
Oh, wait a minute. Look, Costello. Hey, come here. I've got a real treat for you. Now, over here. Hey, look.
What?
You know who this is? Don't you?
Well, who it is?
Yes.
You?
Certainly.
Does he?
Certainly he does.
He knows who he is?
Absolutely. Why, he's the greatest actor that ever lived. You've heard of Shakespeare, haven't you?
Oh, sure. Hiya, Shakespeare.
No.
Hiya, Ben. Put it here, Shakespeare.
Never mind that.
You know, I know you all the time.
Never mind. Listen, Costello. Shakespeare was born in 1564.
He don't hold his age very good, does he?
Enough of this verbal sabotage, Valley. Who is this overstuffed blimp?
John, he's our guest, Lou Costello.
Oh, Lou Costello, eh? Young man, I've seen you someplace before.
You have?
Yes. Weren't you flying over Hollywood this morning with Goodyear written on your stomach?
I kind of think that's an insult. I should resent it. I think I will. Or will I? Hey, Abbott, who is this guy?
Costello, this man is one of the biggest names in our theater.
That's right, Costello. It's the magic name that draws unheard of thousands to the box office. And you know what that name is, don't you?
Sure, Backlight.
No.
Hey, Backlight?
Certainly not.
Free dishes.
No.
Free enamelware.
Absolutely not.
Free gas ranges.
Certainly not. It's John Barrymore.
Oh, free ham. Okay, Rudy. Free ham.
All right, never mind that.
Egg. What egg?
All right. Okay, Hey, Costello.
There's more to this?
See you later, Rudy.
Oh, so long, Rudy.
See you later. We'll see you later on the show, boys, and we're all looking forward to hearing the great routine you did for the Universal Picture in the Navy. And now, John, we're ready to present our cross-section of American life.
Cross-section, Rudy?
Yes. You see, it's my belief that too many Americans don't know enough about one another.
They know too much about me.
You're always the exception, John. But, for example, one of our most important institutions, which not enough people know about, is the American farm. Now, come along with me, and we'll really visit a farm.
Arriving at Valley's farm, we find city chap John Barrymore discussing farm problems with Squire Rudy Valley.
I must say, Rudy, life on your farm has made a new man out of me. Look at me. Gadzooks, I'm a mass of muscle.
Mess is the word, John.
Don't be so disparaging, you rural Rudolph. You realize you're talking to J. Chicken Feed Barrymore, one-time owner of the biggest chicken ranch in the West?
That's so. What happened to your chicken farm, John?
In the padlocks of the theater, I've laid an egg.
Out and the sheriff moved in. He kept my horse, too.
Saddle horse?
No.
Dray horse?
No, he was brown.
Skip it. It seems to me, John, that you still have much to learn about real scientific farming.
I guess I have, Rudy. And seriously, I think everyone ought to be grateful to the farmer for his contributions to American progress.
That's true, John. And Daniel Webster paid a great and proper tribute to the farmer when he said, "Let us never forget that the cultivation of the earth is the most important labor of man. Man may be civilized in some degree, but without great progress in manufactures and with little commerce with his distant neighbors. But without the cultivation of the earth, he is in all countries a savage. Until he gives up the chase and fixes himself in some place and seeks a living from the earth, he is a roaming barbarian. When tillage begins, arts follow. The farmers, therefore, are the founders of civilization."
Webster had the right words for it, Rudy.
Yes. So have the King's men. King's men, give us your light-hearted toast to the men of America who till the soil.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. He played the bagpipes all day long, E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had some chickens, E-I-E-I-O. Cluck, cluck there, and a cluck, cluck there, and a here, cluck there, cluck there, a crackin'. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had some ducks, E-I-E-I-O. A quack, quack here, a quack, quack there, and a here, quack there, quack there, we're quack. Cluck, cluck here, and a cluck, cluck there, and a here, cluck there, we're crackin'. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had some cows, E-I-E-I-O. A moo moo here and a moo there, and here moo there, moo everywhere, moo. Quack quack here and a quack quack there, and here quack there, quack everywhere, quack. Cluck cluck here and a cluck cluck there, and here cluck there, cluck everywhere, quack. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had some pigs, E-I-E-I-O. Oink, oink here, oink, oink there, here, oink there, oink everywhere, oink, oink. Moo, moo here, moo there, here, moo there, moo everywhere, moo. Quack, quack here, and a quack, quack there, and here, quack there, quack everywhere, quack. Cluck, cluck here, and a cluck, cluck there, here, cluck there, cluck everywhere, quack. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on this farm he had a tractor, E-I-E-I-O. Chug, chug here, and a chug, chug there, and here, chug there, chug everywhere, chug, chug. Oink, oink here, and a oink, oink there, here, oink there, oink everywhere, oink, oink.
Yes, this is America, and our cavalcade would not be complete without a mention of that great American institution, ice cream. For ice cream is as typically American as Bunker Hill or baseball, as old almost as the nation, yet as new as tomorrow. In fact, tonight, Seal Test is introducing a brand new ice cream, one that reaches new peaks of novelty and deliciousness. Mr. and Mrs. America, meet Orange Sherbet Royale Ice Cream, the Seal Test flavor of the month for July. And how appropriate it is for July. Cooling, refreshing orange sherbet molded all through a smooth, creamy vanilla ice cream. Can't you just imagine your first spoonful? The juicy sweetness of sun-ripened oranges blending subtly with the luscious sweetness of the ice cream. Tomorrow's a holiday. Why not serve this thrilling new treat and enjoy it often during July? Just ask any Seal Test ice cream dealer for Orange Sherbet Royale. To avoid imitations, to make sure you're getting genuine Seal Test quality, purity, and flavor, ask for it in the modern red, white, and gray Seal Test pint package. We'll tell you in a few minutes where to buy Seal Test products in your community. Now, a suggestion to those millions of you who will soon be vacation bound. Wherever you go, look for the red and white Seal Test symbol as evidence of quality and purity when you buy milk, ice cream, or other dairy products. Our cross-section of America and Americans is a study in contrast. And so we leave the farm and enter a big city. Here on a hot summer night, we find a boy and a girl getting a breath of fresh air on the roof.
Rudy.
What do you want, Goity?
Gee, isn't there a swell view up here on the roof?
Yeah.
We can almost see the Hudson River from here.
Yeah, it's right behind Mrs. Callahan's wash.
Yeah.
You see those lights sticking up behind Mr. Callahan's long underwear?
Yeah.
That's the Empire State Building. You can see the 16th, 17th, and 18th floor when she hangs them out unbuttoned.
Yeah.
Gee, listen to the Boyd singing.
Oh, Rudy, it's a bird.
It is? Gee, it sounded just like a Boyd.
Oh, there's Papa's alarm clock. He's working the night shift this week. You better leave before he catches you here.
I'm not as scared of you, Pop. Just because he's Sergeant O'Battymore of the police force doesn't mean he can kick me around.
Gertrude, me daughter, me little Colleen. Where am I at? Supporter.
They're in the oven. Ma's using them to hold up a cake she's baking.
God blast the censored look.
You know, Rudy, Papa's awful grouchy. Oh, here he comes.
Well, daughter, I'll be off to walk me big. Rudy Valley, you big scalpeen. I thought I told you not to come hanging around me daughter till you had a job.
But, Mr. Barrymore, I've been out looking for work all day.
Rudy Valley shouldn't have trouble finding work. Sure, there's plenty of jobs for men with weak minds and strong backs.
Why, Father, Rudy hasn't got a strong back.
Thanks, Goity.
Say, Papa, Rudy has asked me to marry him.
Oh, he has, has he?
Yeah, but I kind of hate to leave more.
Don't let that bother you. You can take her with you. Well, I must be getting off to the police station. Goodbye, me little Colleen. I'll be speaking to you on the police radio.
Ah, wait a minute. How can you speak to your Colleen on the police radio?
I just say, Colleen all cars. Colleen all cars.
Oh, geez, a card.
Say, Rudy, how are we going to celebrate the 4th of July tomorrow? Are you going to take me someplace, for example? Like Coney Island, for example?
Beautiful Coney Island on the 4th of July. 3 square miles of beach with 6 square miles of people.
Oh, I don't care about all those people, Rudy. When you walk with me on the sand with your arm around me and you sing to me, I feel like I'm alone.
Now that's a fine compliment. You might as well get ready to feel alone right now because I feel like singing.
The Bowery, the Bowery.
They say such things and they do such things.
On the Bowery, the Bowery. I'll never go there anymore.
She's my sweetheart. I'm her beau. She's my Annie. I'm her Joe. soon we will marry, never to part. Little Annie Rooney is my sweetheart.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy, oh, for the love of you.
It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage. But you look sweet with your great big feet on a bicycle built for two. The end. For our next cross-section of Americana, we take you aboard one of Uncle Sam's super dreadnoughts, where we find those two super seamen, Abbott and Costello.
Hey, Abbott!
Right.
Hey, Abbott!
Yes, yes, yes.
Stop the boat!
Wait a minute.
Stop the boat!
Stop yelling, will you please?
Stop the boat!
Shh, wait a minute. What are you laughing at?
Stop the boat! Hey,
what's wrong with you?
I'm getting seasick.
Now, come on, please. The boat hasn't even left the dock yet.
What's all those people there waving at us for then?
What people?
I don't know. I just made it up.
Oh, behave.
Hey, Everett.
What?
Look, how many miles an hour does this boat go?
Now, she doesn't go miles. She goes nuts.
Now, how do you like that? Of all the boats in the Navy, we got to get one that goes nuts.
Nah. Nuts are nautical miles. Now, if you ask a sailor how fast the boat is going, he won't say miles. He'll say nuts to you.
Oh, yeah?
Sure.
And I say nuts right back to
him. No, be quiet. And take a look at this boat. This is a dandy. You like it?
Yes. Cute.
Yes, it has nice sleeping quarters, a fine dining room for the men. And did you get a look at the officer's mess?
No, sir. I just see anybody's wife on board.
Now, wait a minute. Tell him off.
I do go around looking for other people's like that.
Never mind that.
I mean, after all, you can... Who's ahead, me or you?
Never mind that. Just keep quiet. Don't start ridiculing the officers on this boat. Do you realize I'm your captain?
Aye, aye, sir.
What?
That's Navy stuff. Aye, aye, sir.
Never mind that.
You dummy, don't you know?
Quiet.
Aye, aye, sir.
All right. Now, listen. If you study hard, you can be my first mate.
Well, sure.
All right. Oh.
I can what?
Be my first mate.
I can be your first mate?
Absolutely.
Are you sure, Abbott?
Yes, if you're a nice boy. You've got to be a nice boy.
I can be your first mate.
Yes.
Are you sure you won't get tired of me?
Oh, stop getting silly. Now, listen.
Hey, you don't even appeal, sir.
All right, never mind. Now, let's get this boat started. Did the crew embark?
Oh, yeah. As soon as we got in the tanks, we...
What tanks?
Oh, we're in the Navy.
Never mind that.
Did the crew what?
Embark, embark, embark. No. Costello, I mean, is the crew forward?
What do I know if the crew is forward? What do I know about their manners?
No.
Abbott, I never even met the guys
look
before.
Look, you blockhead. Forward is the front of the boat. Aft is back. The starboard is the right side. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Where's the port?
In the bottle, in the icebox.
No. That's fine. 6 years in the Navy and you know nothing about a boat. Didn't you go to training school, stupid?
Yes, sir. And I came out the same way.
No, wow.
Hey, Abbott.
What?
I don't mean to get inquisitive.
No, I hope you don't.
But what's that thing over there?
That's the captain's bridge.
What do you know?
Yes.
How does he get it in his mouth?
Oh, I'm taking you on this training trip to make a sailor out of you. Now, come on, we've got to get started. The barometer's falling.
Okay, let's pick it up and get going.
No, you don't seem to understand. The barometer falling indicates a storm. Did you get the weather forecast?
The what?
How did you find the weather?
How did I find the weather?
Yes.
I just opened up a window and there it was.
No. Well, you don't seem to understand. What's wrong with you? I told you to find out about the weather conditions, didn't I?
Yeah, well, I tried to do that.
You did?
Yeah, I asked the guy in the dock. I says, hi, how are conditions? How are conditions? Something like that.
Yes.
The guy didn't even answer me.
What do you mean?
Oh, he says, hello, to another guy that wasn't even there.
Well, what are you talking about?
Sometimes I wonder myself.
I'm wondering myself.
I've got it. I know.
All right, go ahead.
So, Walt, the guy, are you on page two?
Never mind. Come on. What are you talking about?
All right, some point, I see it. All the guy there said was hello to a guy that wasn't there.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? I can't make this out.
Neither can I, the way the guy typewriter is.
What was it? What did he say?
Well, he said to a guy, he says, hi, Tide, and there was nobody named Tide around here.
Oh, no, the man meant Tide was high.
All right, so he was high. He'll sober up in the morning.
No, wait a minute. Look, I'm talking about the weather. Suppose we're 200 miles out to sea. What happens if we run into a squall?
How are you going to run into an Indian's wife in the middle of the ocean?
Oh, come on.
All I'm worried about is octopuses.
Octopuses?
Yes, that's a fish with eight faces.
Oh, how do you figure that out?
Well, octo means eight.
Yes.
And a puss is a puss.
All right, pipe down. Look, let's get this boat started. And stop throwing your clothes through that porthole.
Porthole?
Yes.
I thought it was a little closet.
No, certainly not.
Hey, Abbott.
What?
What are those guys working on over there in the shipyard?
Oh, that's a hull of a ship.
You're telling me.
You look, you're a fine sailor. A great guy to have in an emergency. What would you do? What would you do if this boat started leaking in the middle of the night?
I'd put a pan under it and go back to bed.
No. Suppose there was a big hole in the side of the boat and the water was rushing in. What would you do?
I'd bore a hole on the other side and let the water out.
That's fine. You're a fine sailor. No wonder the CO never assigned you to a ship.
Abbott, I got a confession to make. I can't help it. Seeing water makes me awful dizzy.
Don't blame it on the water.
Well, it does. Every time I see water, I get so dizzy. Just this afternoon, I went to a place, and the minute I got in there, everything swam before my eyes.
Where did this happen?
At the aquarium.
Oh.
Thank you, Abbott and Costello, for the fun you've given us. Long may your laughter wave in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Wouldn't you like to add a different touch to your holiday party and holiday dessert? Seal Test dealers everywhere are waiting to tell you how. Here we go to all of those communities where Seal Test milk and ice cream are sold. Ready?
This July 4th pervades us all. The light and the torch of liberty burns brighter in all our hearts. Yes, brighter this year than last. Stronger today than yesterday. For in every American home, be it big city or little farm, in every factory and at every fireside, men, women, and children are cherishing more dearly their priceless freedom. Industrialists, scientists, workers, soldiers, sailors, 130 million strong are united in the defense and preservation of human rights and liberty. So, in continuing our salute, we present a new dramatic musical composition written by Irving Ashkenazy and Malin Merrick. Joined by our vocal chorus, John Barrymore and I give you The Cloth of Liberty.
You should meet on the street one day a tall, straight man with ageless eyes, and oddly dressed, you might stop and say, "Mister, haven't I seen you before someplace?" And he'd nod with a smile on his whiskered face.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I cover ground from Biscayne Bay to Puget Sound, from Oregon to the coast of Maine, where the fog rolls in with the winter tide and the Gloucester boats roll out again.
We might have met on any plain or mountainside, in any city, town, or farm, in any parish, in any county or state, from the Statue of Liberty to the Golden Gate.
Yes, Uncle Sam walks with his head held high, his tall hat touching the stars in the sky, his long coattails in the whistling breeze, whipping the clouds about his knees, and his Congress boots in a single stride span 3,000 miles of countryside. You'll know Uncle Sam by the clothes he wears, the Hagenstein style, in 100 years.
That may be so. I only know that the fabric's sound and the style suits me and the fit is fine. It was cut, you see, from the living cloth of liberty. You ask, who's my tailor? You say I should have picked tweed. What's it worth? Is it guaranteed? Well, if you want to know, it was made by a firm of tailors who were farmers, lawyers, soldiers, sailors, woodsmen, hunters, men of will, who made my coat at Bunker Hill, who found brave stars for my hat in a gorge of hopelessness called Valley Forge, and striped my trousers a valiant red with the living dye of the blood they shed.
Patriots, fighters, writers of wrong.
Ask, who are these tailors? What were they named? Washington, Jefferson, Adams, and Penn. Patrick Henry and the Minutemen. Franklin, Whitney, King, and Monroe. All weaving the cloth and making it grow. Hancock, Whitman, Crockett, Clay. Each and all had something to say. They were big men, little men. And each in his day was cutting my suit the American way. And its colors were richer for Betsy Ross and Molly Pitcher, for Nancy Hanks and Barbara Fritchie, for all brave women and brave men, men whose names unwritten by history's pen were joined with Lincoln's and John Paul Jones to awaken the world to make known that here was a fabric woven by swords with courage and faith and imperishable words.
Yes, words. Uncle Sam, imperishable words. The words of Thomas Jefferson on July the 4th, 1776. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Words, imperishable words, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish, from the earth.
John and I will be back to greet Martha Ray. Until then, this is Rudy Valley saying au revoir and good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.